New York State lawmakers are scheduled to leave Albany at the end of the legislative session. Today, or this Wednesday, a correspondent, Corrine Carey, sat down with Jennifer Wilson, legislative director of the New York State's League of Women Voters, to talk about the league's priorities and what the legislature did and did not do during the 2018 session.
Welcome to WOSC, Jennifer. Nice to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
The New York State Legislature is about to wrap up the 2018 legislative session. They're scheduled to end on Wednesday. The League of Women Voters has been working on a number of different issues this year, asking state lawmakers to take action. Can you give us an update on where those issues stand?
Sure. Our primary push this year was on voting reforms, and our big issue this year was early voting, and we had really wanted to get that passed in the state budget. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. We expanded our list of priorities post-budget to include a lot more voting reforms like same-day voter registration, consolidating primaries, pre-registration of 16 and 17-year-olds, and we've managed to pass a lot of those reforms in the Assembly, but unfortunately, they've stalled in the Senate.
Ethics reform is another thing that's at the forefront of everyone's minds because of the trial that started today of former president of SUNY Polytechnic Institute, Elaine Calieros, who's accused of helping steer $1 billion in upstate development deals to the Cuomo campaign. Has the league been following this trial?
Oh, yeah. We have been working with our good government partners on our Restore Public Trust campaign since the beginning of session when the first trial started of the former top aide to Governor Cuomo, Joseph Prococo. And we followed that through and pushed for a number of reforms that would have sort of addressed some of the ethical issues that came up during that trial, some of the campaign finance issues, some of the contract procurement issues. And now towards the end of session, we really have two priority bills we've been working on, the database of deals and the procurement Procurement Integrity Act. I always get that one. It's a tongue twister. But basically, that bill would just restore oversight of all state contracts to the comptroller. And the database of deals would make all of those state contracts public so that people could actually see how their taxpayer dollars are being spent. Right now, these contractors, they get these huge sums of money through contracts and they have no disclosure requirements. They could spend this money on anything and the state has no way to track it. Nonprofits have higher levels of disclosure that they have to abide by than these state contractors that are getting literally billions of dollars of taxpayer dollars. So this would basically just create a public database. These contractors would have to report on how they're spending their money and how many jobs that this funding is actually creating through these different endeavors that they're launching.
Where did these bills get stuck?
They did actually pass in the Senate, which is very surprising because usually our bills get stuck in the Senate, but the Senate did pass these bills. They actually passed quite a comprehensive package of ethics reforms, and we just haven't been able to move them in the Assembly. It's totally opposite of what we normally face, but they're both stuck in committee still in the Assembly.
Is there any chance before the end of session?
We like to think so. We have 40 co-sponsors on the database of deals, and we have 36 co-sponsors on the Procurement Integrity Act. So that's a lot of members who are saying that they support this legislation. And, you know, Governor Cuomo had his own version of these bills in his budget that, you know, sort of got pulled out towards the end of the budget cycle. So I think they're popular reforms. I think they're common sense reforms. They're free reforms. They're not going to cost the state any money. If anything, we're going to be able to save money because we're going to be able to see these companies that aren't performing what they say they're going to be performing.
Just seems like there's no reason to leave that on the table, but it sounds like the legislature has left a lot on the table this year. Did they do anything that the League of Women Voters liked this year?
You know, I don't think so. It's so hard because, you know, they've passed, the two houses together have passed about 300 bills at this point. Last year at this point in the session, they had passed 400 bills, so we're about 100 down. But a lot of these are very, like, renaming a bridge in a town and these sort of things that aren't really big impact bills. And when it comes to big impact issues, I can't point to something and say, like, yes, that was the big thing. Last year we had Raise the Age. We're really excited about that. That was a really great reform we did in the budget. But we don't really have anything like that this year.
So mostly the important issues remained untouched. Did anything happen this year that rolled back progress and rights from your perspective?
Well, the governor had put out a package of executive orders and different program bills this year, and they weren't exactly up to snuff as far as we were concerned. The biggest one for us was the restoration of parolee voting rights. This is something that we are really passionate about, and the executive order that the governor put out is just, it's not adequate. It's not going to be adequate. And typically, when the legislature passes something or does something or the governor does something, that's it. They won't touch it again. And with this particular executive order, it's not a full restoration of rights. There's no guarantee that you as a parolee are going to have your right restored. It's up to the parolee board to decide if you're going to have your right restored. It's giving way too much power to these parolee boards. And at the same token, not enough notification process to the parolees. There's no regulations around this. So it's really up to the parolee themselves to figure out whether or not my right has been restored and then to ultimately get registered. And that's a lot of responsibility for somebody to have.
Ah. Well, we're speaking with Jennifer Wilson, Legislative Director of the League of Women Voters, New York State, on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. We've got an important election coming up in November, Jennifer. All 213 lawmakers are up for re-election. The Attorney General, the Comptroller, the Governor, even Senator Kirsten Gillibrand is up for re-election. What is the League doing to get the word out about these elections?
So we've started, our locals have started their candidate debates. They've started the congressional candidate debates, and we've had quite a few go on throughout the state. We'll have even more in the state primary because we're going to have, I think, the majority of seats being primaried this year, which is really, you know, exciting and great. So those are all advertised on the League's website. And then we also have an electronic ballot program that we run. And again, it's from the League's website, lwvny.org. which is leaguewomenvoters.org. And it's just a button on the website, and it has all the candidate information about candidates running. All you do is you put in your address, and it'll show you who's going to be on your ballot. It'll give you information about that candidate. It'll also help you make a plan to vote, so you can register to get email alerts or text alerts on and before Election Day, reminding you to go to the polls and telling you where your polling location is. So it's just basically a one-stop shop for figuring out if you're registered, figuring out who's going to be on your ballot, if you're having a primary. It's a really great website, and it's just on the League's website, lwvny.org.
That sounds like a great resource for people. The League has seen an increased membership since the current administration came into power a year and a half ago. What has that looked like here in New York State, and why do you think people have been joining?
It's been really exciting for us because we have all these new members who are really revved up and really want to take action. And they also, you know, we're a nonpartisan group, and that's why they come to us, is they don't want to necessarily be on one side of the aisle. They want to be on both sides, and they want to really work across the aisle to get things done. So we've expanded a lot of our programs. We're having more debates than ever. We're having a lot of leagues who are interested in civic education. We do, you know, so much voter registration, thousands and thousands of voter registrations per year. We're at almost all of the naturalization ceremonies throughout the state. There's regions of the state that do 5,000 voter registrations at a naturalization ceremony every month. They do 5,000 of them. So we've really been able to expand our reach to get more voters registered. We're going to be at the state fair this year again. We're really excited about that. And we've just, you know, we've been able to grow our impact as far as voter registration and also education, because whenever we do register someone, we give them a packet of materials telling them about their first time voting, what they need to do, how to make sure they're registered, how to stay informed on who's going to be on their ballot, and how to find out more information about voting in general.
So if folks wanted to get involved with the League, what should they do?
Well, they can go to the League's website again, and we have a link on there to find a local league in your area. They could always call the state league office, and we can help hook them up with a league in their area. LWVNY.org again, and there's just a Find My Local League. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and we also post about our debates in the different areas and about actions we're taking at the Capitol. We share those around and try and keep everybody abreast on what's going on.
And you don't have to be a woman to join the League of Women Voters.
Yeah,
is that right?
That's right. We've had men since the 1960s.
Great. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for coming into the studio to talk to us about the end of the legislative session and the League's priorities.
Thank you for having me.
That was WOOC's correspondent Corinne Carey speaking with Jennifer Wilson about the 2018 legislative session and how people can get involved with the League of Women Voters here in New York State.